Every high priest must offer sacrifice as much for himself as for his people, for he is surrounded with infirmity. The words of St. Paul, today's epistle, the feast of St. Thomas Becket. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I woke up this morning thinking about St. Thomas of Becket and his hair shirt. You know, they say that not only did he wear under his gorgeous robes as Archbishop of Canterbury a hair shirt, but that it was crawling with vermin, found so by the monks who hastily prepared his body for burial on this night after his martyrdom for the liberty of the church. Imagine that double penance of a hair shirt itself, and then with the little creatures crawling on the hair shirt too. St. Thomas of Becket was a strong man, and he was a man, we might say today, of great extremes. He is a man who verifies the truth that is sometimes, I like to say it about the Catholics who are left today, that our strengths are our weaknesses, and our weaknesses are strengths. In the divine plan, Thomas of Becket was chosen, this man of tremendous culture and, some say, an almost overweening self-confidence and strength of character. He was chosen because he was exactly the man who was needed to defend the church, which means the little lambs of our Lord in England during the time of another very strong character, Henry II. And Thomas of Becket was a man who could be all things to all men. With the Normans, he rode to the hounds, and he took care of hawks, and he hunted and banqueted and lived in an extravagant lifestyle. But when the king appointed him Archbishop of Canterbury, he's a good example of the grace of state, he left it all behind without even a backward glance. And he became a new man in Christ. And he was made a priest and then consecrated a bishop. And he was exactly the man for the hour, exactly the one who was needed, who alone could stand up to an iniquitous king to defend the rights of Holy Mother Church. Still, for all his terrible deeds of penance, they say that every afternoon after lunch, he took a nap, which means that he was a man who knew how to balance his life, how to preserve his own strength, even as he worked to atone for his own weaknesses and to take care of the tremendous responsibility that was his as the primate and the Archbishop of Canterbury, to have really the charge of the whole English church under his care. St. Thomas wrote shortly before he died to the king, saying that he had the impression that because of him, the king was making the whole church in England, and thus the little people, the little souls, to suffer, and to suffer very much. And in that letter, Thomas of Becket expressed the holy desire that our Lord might grant him the grace of martyrdom. What a wonderful thing martyrdom does for a soul. It washes away the bloodshed for Christ. It washes away all human faults and infirmities and failures. When someone dies for Christ, he becomes instantly a saint and a glorious saint in heaven. Up until that moment, he was not a saint. He was surrounded with infirmity, and he fought as much against his own failings and his own past as he fought against an iniquitous king with all of his pride, who laid his hand on Holy Mother Church and would not take no for an answer. But in that one last fight, they say that words were exchanged between the knights and the archbishop. There was the side door of the Cathedral of Canterbury, and that Thomas may have pushed in order to defend the church. One of the knights pushed him in that discussion, and then pretty soon he was on his knees offering up his life for the liberty of Holy Mother Church in honor of St. Denis and the holy patrons of his cathedral church, and then the sword comes, he dies as a martyr. He is utterly transformed in an instant, in glory. In that very night, our Lord begins to work glorious miracles through the intercession of that saint, so that all of England and then all of Christendom will call upon his name and will honor him. What a beautiful tribute to the triumph of grace. It doesn't really matter. Men will come and go, and men will have this personality or that, and they will have these faults or these other ones, and then these virtues or strengths. But it's God's grace in the end, isn't it? That matters. And everything that we do, whether it be the great, strong, incredibly self-disciplined movements of a Thomas a Becket, or whether it be the sweet, gentle movements of God's grace in the soul of a child, everything that we do must be towards the light, towards Almighty God's grace, which means to transform us, which means to use us, our good points as well as our bad, to get God some glory in this our own day, and to promote His glory everlastingly. Last of all, poor Thomas a Becket, he suffered two utterly undignified and very unworthy funerals. That is to say that as soon as he died, the monks didn't know if more troops would come back, if they would be slain next, should they fortify the cathedral and the monastery. And so a couple of them just very quickly washed the body and put it down in the crypt. And that was that. And a prayer was read for him. And almost the same thing happened when the agents of the king came back a few centuries later from the iniquitous king, Henry now the Eighth. They wanted to despoil his shrine and to burn his relics. But the monks beat him to it, and the body was gone. They say it may have been discovered hidden in some little nook or cranny in the crypt of the Canterbury Cathedral in the last century. But it's one of those many, many mysteries of life. But those were the indignities to which this man was subjected in his relics. He who laid down his life for the dignity and the rights and for the glory of Holy Mother Church. We should be willing, if Don Father Faber says, we should be willing to suffer martyrdom for our holy faith. But remember, it's not all giving. When you suffer martyrdom, you get a terrific amount of grace, and Thomas a Becket stands for that very, very clearly. If it wouldn't be presumptuous, we should pray for the grace of martyrdom, but at the very least, Father Faber says, we should be willing to suffer that other martyrdom of losing our good name and our reputation because we are standing up for Christ and for His church. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.